This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, any place, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun, eat it too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
Hey, this is Emily.
And this is Sandra.
And I'm Jess, and you're listening to Town Meeting, a Gilmore Girls rewatch podcast.
Hey guys, it's 2022. Happy New Year.
New Year.
Yay!
Same pod.
kind of the same pod, actually. Because we do have a little bit of a change coming up. We did, first, before we say anything, we acknowledge that we took a month break. It was for our own mental health, Christmas and New Year's, you know, all that stuff. But we are back, baby. And Woo! We just kind of want to go over the slight changes in the pod.
Yeah, so we are going to be changing our upload day. So previously, you've seen new episodes from us on Tuesdays, and we are changing that to Thursdays.
Also, this podcast has proven to be hard and takes up a lot of time.
Worth it.
And so while it is totally worth it. And so while we still want to give you guys as much content as we can, we are going to take the last Thursday of every month off. So the last Thursday of each month, there will not be an episode, but we will always pick back up the first Thursday of the next month. So 1 week breaks here and there.
Yeah. Which you guys have been really awesome on social media during our break. And
yes.
We love the support. We've got some exciting things to talk about today in Stars Hollow Speaks, but thank you for being understanding, and we're excited to be back in the new year with a new episode and be here with you guys.
I agree completely.
And to talk to each other. I miss you guys.
I know.
We've been busy.
It's been a while since we spoke. And I miss Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
Like, I haven't really been watching it because, you know, there's been other shows, and now going back to it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is my favorite show, and I want to talk about it.
And I've got to say, I think there's a Gilmore resurgence going on. I'm seeing a lot more Gilmore on TikTok. I use Bumble BFF, and I've been seeing a lot of girls being like, I love Gilmore Girls, and I'm like, well, I host a podcast, be my friend. so it's never been a better time to be a Gilmore fan.
I agree completely.
I have to admit something. By the time we were getting close to the end of the year last year, getting close to, like, right before we took a break, I was getting ever so close to being slightly burnt out. And then we took, like, 2 weeks off into it. I was like, well, let's just start this back up. It's been long enough. So I watched all of season 2, 3, and 4 over our break.
So. Oh, yeah, that feels about right.
I mean, that's kind of prime Gilmore. That's a good place to go back to if you want to, like, remember why you love the show.
Yes.
And guys, season 2 is one of my favorite seasons. So coming back to it, it's kind of like coming back home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, this episode is a little...
I can't tell. Touchy. I don't want to say it's a filler episode, because we obviously get things, but, like, it almost kind of felt like a filler.
I mean, it's like a drama episode, but it is. Emily, it is. You actually get to summarize this episode for us. Reminder, we're doing our 30-second summaries this season, and Emily is up this time.
All right, Emily. 3, 2, 1.
Okay, Friday night dinner. Emily wants to do a portrait of Rory for Richard's study. An oil painting? Seriously? We go to Luke's. Luke's toaster is broken, and then the inn, and they find out Fran owns the dragonfly, and then Fran's like, I don't want to give it up, though. I'm going to die with this thing. And then Mia shows up. Yay! And Rory's bad at sitting. No. This is bad. I'm really going to give up on that one.
Well, I mean, I think that I still hold the record for worst summary on the podcast, but Emily, I think you're giving me a run for my money.
It's a close second.
So Emily gets a point for that one, but I mean, you did get us through, like, kind of the bulk of the episode. One really major plot point that you didn't mention, but we'll get there.
Yeah, normally I am a little more dedicated on my scenes and the notes, and I was depending on that to get me through, and then I'm like, wait, these are just places. This doesn't tell me. Was this when Mia showed? Yeah. Okay, I will happily take the point on that one. That was bad.
The little things that you missed, Jess does commit a fake murder at one point. Mm-hmm. And Lorelai is in a not-so-great mood in this episode.
Yes.
I've got lots. I think we all have lots to say about the way that she acts and treats Suki in this episode, but we'll get to it.
So this episode is the ins and outs of inns, which is very cute.
Mm-hmm.
But so before we start this discussion properly, I do want to call something out. There's a lot of racism.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's bad.
And it starts from the beginning at this Friday night dinner, the first scene, and it goes throughout the episode. It actually makes it one of my least favorite episodes because of it, because watching it, it makes me feel bad.
It makes me, you know, not want to like Mia.
Yes, exactly.
And like, you want to love Mia. She helped raise these girls, obviously. So, like, to see this just kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
Yep. And we start just straight up the bat with casual racism.
Extremely, from like, Emily. Blatant casual racism.
Right?
Yeah.
One of those oh-so-quaint little countries in Mexico.
The weird food. Yeah. And I kind of hate that Rory's the one that says weird food, because Alexis is Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you're making the Spanish girl in the cast say something disparaging about her own culture. Not great. Don't like it.
So many just other my personal ways thoughts. You could like refer to that food.
Yeah, and this is a theme that we see throughout the entire series with Emily's maids. If they're not if they're not nameless, then often they are some other, right? They always other the maids. The maids are unintelligent, or they are from some other culture, and Emily.
Or they walk very loudly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But moving on from that, although, like I said, I wanted to acknowledge it because it is a big thing in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Richard's in Akron, Ohio, which gets a bad rap, apparently. I've never been to Ohio. So
over our break, I'm in Indiana, drove out to New Jersey, where my brother lives, and went through Akron, Ohio.
Oh,
and, like, I was literally thinking of this as I saw the exits to get off on, and I was like, I know this town. I've heard of you. Not as small as they make it seem, which, granted, this was, like, what, 15, almost 20 years ago?
Yeah, a long time ago. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it could have grown quite a bit since then, but, like, it has its own signs off of the interstate, and I don't feel like tiny towns tend to have their own signs off the interstate.
Yeah. I mean, when I think of Ohio, I just think of Ohio is for lovers, but Akron is there too.
So every time we cross into Ohio, if Sean's not paying attention, I make sure I put that song on the music. Like, I cue it up. So it's playing it every single time. He just looks at me like, really? And then we go down an emo playlist for, like, the next hour and a half.
Yes. Well, anyway.
Well, Richard's not having a great time.
Yes.
No.
Apparently. I don't know. I think Emily's projecting that Richard's not having a great time, because she seems super depressed about it.
But he had to eat dinner in a coffee shop last night.
Yeah. A Starbucks?
Heaven forbid.
Who knows?
And
Panera.
She kind of, let's say, manipulates Rory into posing for an oil
skillful baby. Manipulation, and Lorelai sees it coming a mile away. I mean, we know Rory. She's okay to play into her grandma's schemes. Like, she's pretty down with it. And as Sandra said, it is, or actually I think Emily, you said in your summary, she's getting an oil painting done of herself for Richard's study.
Yeah.
And not from a picture. You only do that at the mall.
Is that even done at the mall?
Back then, potentially.
Maybe.
I will give kudos to Emily, but this is like a one step forward, eight steps back kind of thing. She mentions that one of the painters that did Lorelai's, this Italian man, she thought she saw them rifling through her recyclables. I was like, okay, awful, but good that you recycled?
Yeah.
In the early 2000s when it wasn't nearly such a hot topic?
True.
Sure.
But anyway, Rory agrees. She would be happy to sit for an oil painting for her grandfather, who she loves very much.
So after the Friday night dinner, we do move on to the next scene after the theme song at Luke's. And Lorelai and Luke are having a business meeting at 7:45 in the morning.
This business meeting...
Well, it would have had to have been earlier than that.
No.
Because it kind of ends at 7:45 when Jess...
Oh, right, yeah.
So they would have been there earlier than that.
Theoretically, maybe 7 they got together and they've been talking for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because it seems to kind of wrap up when it starts. Yeah.
Over our break, I saw yet another Reddit post with somebody trying to be like, what time do the Gilmores wake up? At this point, we all have to drop it.
Nobody
like,
knows.
We have to accept that it is unknowable. But this whole scene really makes me frustrated, and I bet you guys will agree, because later on, much later on, we will get an entire plot arc where Richard is talking to Luke about his business, and Luke is like, business? What's that? I don't know anything. I love this scene because he is savvy. He is an expert at what he does. Like, this is hot Luke. This is capable Luke. We lose this man.
Smart, intelligent, can take care of himself, started his own business from scratch.
This is the
a successful business at that.
This is the man that makes sense with Lorelai.
Let's see if anyone understands this reference. Luke Dane gets Eric Matthews throughout the seasons.
Yeah.
Or he just gets a little dumber each time.
We can go a little farther ahead, because I think this reference might be a little more popular because it's getting a resurgence as well. You got Joey Tribbiani'd.
Ooh, yeah. In a bad way.
It just, yeah.
Poor Luke.
But no, I completely agree. But as good as Luke is being in this scene, Jess is being awful.
Jess is the worst. Jess actively avoids a woman who is holding out her coffee cup while he walks by with coffee. And then when he gets on Luke about, like, are you gonna, you know, break child labor?
Child labor laws?
Or can I go to school? He just drops the hot coffee pot on the table next to Lorelai and leaves.
Right?
Well, when Lorelai is like, how are you? And he's like, I'm not bleeding or anything.
I love that. Lie.
That's a great line.
Gosh.
That's a great line. But do you look at Lorelai when he puts that coffee pot down? Because she just kind of stares at it like, okay.
If I had been in high school and a boy like Jess, who looked like Jess, said that to an adult in my presence, I would have melted into a puddle on the ground. Like, that would have been the most, like, oh my gosh, he's such a bad boy moment to me. But anyway, Jess is off to school.
No, we do need to talk about Jess, because Jess, teenage Jess to teenage viewer, hot as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Gorgeous.
Adult love the attitude. To teenage Jess, yikes, this boy needs an attitude adjustment.
Get away from my daughter.
Yeah. And we do get, get a little bit of growth from him in this episode, which is very exciting. But it's not until the
we'll
very
get
end.
To it. Which I don't know if Luke is already struggling with his toaster, but there's a toaster storyline somewhere buried in this episode.
Yeah. I was trying to get to it in the summary.
But before we get there, we do get a mention of Rachel.
Yeah.
Oh, the Rachel property.
Yeah. Miss Rachel, who I thought was never going to be mentioned again, does get mentioned.
I think this is her last mention.
Well, I mean, Lorelai even is like, I'm going to stop saying her name because I keep saying it, and that's rude.
And this is awkward.
So the last thing I want to mention about the scene is I do like the little insight into Luke's dad.
Mm-hmm.
His dad was just not a business person, but still made his hardware store.
Times were much, much simpler then. Oh, yes. That you could open a business with cash without an accountant or any of the other roles that he mentions that I can't remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At that point, all you had to be is smart and have the money available.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what Lorelai is like. She's under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And should we go on to the inn?
Yes, and
we go on to Michelle being an ass.
I mean, always.
As always.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
And we find out that Fran owns the dragonfly.
Mm-hmm. And Fran is the owner of the bakery. So that is how we know her.
Weston's.
But they're excited because they know Fran and they love Fran. And this is great news. She owns the property. So they're going to meet with her.
Guys, my favorite line. Tell me it's not that bastard Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Oh, my
topical
gosh.
2001 reference.
Yeah. Well, hey.
I mean, that that so reference would still hold.
I see that gif all the time.
Yeah.
Makes me laugh.
What did you guys think about the inn names they were trying to think of? Like the country
roads. Oh, yeah.
The Paul Revere. I think they're fun. They're very East Coast, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like they're very cutesy.
I actually
cutesy.
Like the inn by the hollow.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like a lot of them were very cutesy, and if Lorelai would like come across an inn with that name, she would make fun of it.
Because it would be a bed and breakfast.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as like we find out, Fran from the Westin, from Westin Bakery, owns the Dragonfly, we get this tiny little scene of Taylor Dozy arriving to work. And seeing
his day
a top
starts
outline
off so well.
Of a tiny person. Because, like, if you look at their like the actual measurements, they do not make sense.
I could probably fit in that.
So it could just be a smallish
it just made
adult,
me laugh.
But it is roped off with, like, caution police
caution.
Tape. And the cops are there. Or is that later?
We're not there yet.
No, not yet.
From there, we go to Fran's with
It was
Suki
a tiny, tiny little thing. And we go to Weston's.
Yes.
Yep.
And Suki is late, which is important to mention. Suki's late to this meeting. Mm-hmm. Lorelai's already had, like, three different bakery treats by the time
What's
she gets
a rum
there.
Ball?
I don't know.
I'm assuming it's a cake made with rum.
Yeah. Like, my family that has, like, sense. Rum cookies that they do for holidays. I mean, I love rum, so I'm down for it.
Starbucks has the cake pop, so maybe it's something like that. Anyway.
They haven't explicitly set a meeting with Fran. They have just gone to the bakery knowing that Fran will be there. And so when Suki arrives, they kind of pull Fran over, and poor ailing old Fran straight up tells them, I will never sell this property. It's been in my family, and I will own it forever.
So, like, this is supposed to be a business meeting. It's not, because it was never explicitly said to Fran that this is a business meeting.
Right.
But it's supposed to be. And in this meeting, you're supposed to be able to be like, hey, so what happens after you pass?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And
what
instead-
happens?
These
they get
two weirdos.
With it. And honestly, it kind of surprises me that Suki just, like, when she doesn't get it after a couple minutes, is like, what happens when you die? Just, like, blurts it out blatantly. That just seems like a very Suki thing to happen, and it never
happens. They just keep asking her, well, what happens if you go on a vacation? What about a really long vacation? What about the long vacation we will all go on? But, I mean, Fran is just adamant. I will not sell that property. I am sorry. She wishes them well on their adventure. But the dragonfly is just not going to be sold.
It's just hers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always, every time it comes up, I always think, I'm like, wouldn't it have been so nice Fran knew their interest if she had, like, willed the property to them? Yeah. Wouldn't it have been so sweet?
Well, I feel like Fran, unfortunately, gets screwed over every time she's shown. Yeah. Like, the first time she's shown, she's giving wedding cake samples to people that already have a cake.
Yep.
And now it's just like, I want your property, and when will you die so I can get it?
Yep.
So, you know, yikes.
But then we do get the scene with the police officers outside of Dosey's.
Yes. So Rory and Lane are talking, and Lane is talking about Jamie Fernman is trying to be Lane's friend again, right? Which I like the implication that, you know, Lane's life continues even though we don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Jamie Fernman will come up again, mm-hmm. although I don't think we ever see this person.
No, I was kind of, I wanted to go back and check, kind of, I couldn't remember, because Lane makes a reference that somebody told her that, you know, she'd make a good cheerleader.
I think
and
that
I wondered
was,
if it was the same person.
Yeah, I think it's the same person.
The same kind of, like, storyline that's going on in the background, yeah. which, I mean, hey, first justice for Lane of 2022, but I love that she has this life outside, and it's gonna ruffle Rory's feathers later on, that she does have this kind of, like, whole life without Rory.
Yeah. Speaking of Rory, I wanted to see if you guys noticed, Rory has not been in the episode until now, except for the opening scene.
Yeah.
So for several scenes.
Oh, wow. It's a Lorelai-heavy episode. It's an extremely Lorelai-heavy episode. And we will get to the reason why, we promise.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, the cops have shown up because a crime. Yep. A crime has been committed right outside of Dosey's. Who would have thunk here in our sweet small town, a murder? Or at least
two crimes, according to Bootsy. Someone got murdered and then someone stole the body.
Taylor, well, actually, three crimes because Taylor Dosey is back in that cardigan.
Oh, well.
But yeah,
that's just a crime.
The body is missing. Maybe there was never a body. Taylor is convinced. There's a female cop, which, hey, go Stars Hollow.
Mm-hmm. But, like, small town Stars Hollow of no police officer in that town has any idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Clue number one, that this is fake. Or that the scene is fake. Clue number... What police organization is going to do a headcount of the town to figure out if anybody's missing? Because that just seems like a surefire way to think somebody died. Like, somebody
and,
is not
home. Everybody is accounted
what's
for.
Worse?
How?
She doesn't even know Bootsy. She's like, is this your son? But then 2 seconds later, everyone's accounted for. You didn't even know this person 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
So Lane and Rory witness this, and eagle-eyed Rory notices that off in the distance, a handsome young man is smiling to himself, almost in a conspiratorial way, as if perhaps he did it. And I'll tell you, that handsome young man is not her boyfriend.
Nope, who's right next to her and is gonna be the one cleaning up this mess.
Yeah.
The way you described that just reminded me of, like, a dungeon master describing an NPC getting ready to, like, start a new story.
I think maybe it's from dating a dungeon master for 10 years. Maybe it's rubbed off
there
on
you
me.
Go.
Well, regardless, Rory does not seem impressed.
No.
No, she doesn't.
No.
And it's, at this point, because we know where the storyline is going, I feel like it's kind of refreshing to see her not just immediately kind of, I guess, giggling
swoon
to herself because it's Jess. It's nice to be for to see her be like, you kind of suck for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll get more of that.
But we move on to the inn, and Rory's doing Lorelai's taxes.
Weren't you guys all CPAs at 17, 16 years old?
I mean, it really is that whole, like, Bella Renee thing where why is the kid being the adult in this situation? Lorelai's going to
business
school. Like, come on, girl.
Wouldn't that
like,
be
like, it's
practice?
Not even her private taxes. It's the inn's taxes.
And her workaround for, what, putting sponges and...
Cooking oil? Cooking spray?
Cooking oil,
spray
yeah.
Is to wear a scoop neck sweater? Like...
No,
we can move on from that because bigger and more exciting things are happening at the inn.
Somebody shows up.
The boss is here. the boss, the big boss, who we have heard of but definitely never seen until this point, Mia.
Mm-hmm. And everybody is excited for Mia.
And I was too.
Like, I was excited for Mia. I'm excited to meet this woman that raised Lorelai. Basically raised Lorelai, yeah. I guess.
Saved Lorelai.
Kind of an adult, yeah. But, like, helped her out and all this stuff. And then it's just immediate racism. And it kills me.
Yeah, because Mia...
It kills me.
...just can't understand Michelle. And we all know that the character of Michelle has kind of, like, a French accent. The actor himself is not French, but he does a French accent. And everybody can understand him, right? It's not like he speaks French. He speaks English with a French accent. And Mia is even like, did you read those books?
Did you get the tapes?
Yeah.
No, did you get the tapes that I got you?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you've been in the U.S. for so how long now and you still can't speak English?
Like, it's so bad. I have to half think. I'm like, are you trolling him? Like, is this just the long con?
I thought it was too, but she's messing with Michelle? She's so, like,
serious about it.
Genuine. Yeah, it sucks.
It does.
But Mia, immediately, Rory and Lorelai are like, essentially fangirling over Mia. They rush to her and she's here for an inspection, which means she has the girls twirl around and tells them they're too thin and too beautiful. Ugh.
I wish my mom would tell me that.
One nice little comparison that I liked here is that Lorelai goes, like, you know how Lorelai talks a little bit too much sometimes? Mm-hmm. Right?
A little bit?
Earlier in the episode, Emily literally shut her up by slamming the salt like a gavel, right? And yet, Mia lets her talk.
Yeah.
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 I very quick backtrack. Something I noticed immediately in that first scene at the Friday night dinner, Lorelai says something along the lines of like, get out of here. And Emily responds with, I will not get out of here, and takes it very literally. Mm-hmm. And it just reminded me very much of The Princess Diaries.
Oh,
Shut up. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And... So I had to look it up. They came out at essentially the same time. So somehow these two completely separate entities came up with essentially the same joke at the same time. I can't help but wonder if there are writers involved.
That's some convergent evolution, baby. Where are my wildlife people at?
Anyway.
Well, speaking of things that don't translate well, Rory and Lorelai just immediately troll Michelle. Ugh. And Michelle takes it so seriously. And I feel for him. Because in that moment, you already have, you know, your boss disparaging you because of your accent. And then...
Your boss's boss telling you that she can't understand a thing you say. Rory, the 16-year-old child comes in and starts misinterpreting everything on purpose. Like, how do you know Mia's not going to walk out of there and be like, are you sure you need him?
Yeah. We give Michelle a hard time for being a jerk, but, like... Also, I would be really upset at the end of the day if this is how my coworkers and superiors treated me, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh.
And also, there's been no mention of Michelle being asked to go to this hypothetical new inn.
Yes, right. That has not come up yet.
I thought about that.
So maybe jealousy?
Yeah, because he does, maybe. In that scene where they're talking about their new inn names, Michelle does say, you know, most businesses fail in the first 2 years. He's really, like, cautioning them in, like, a negative way. But I think a lot of it could stem from jealousy, especially based on what we will see later on in the series with him and the inns and everything. But Mia is here, and she wants to see the town. It's been a long time since she was around.
So we go to Luke's.
Yeah, of course.
And Luke is so happy.
The most affectionate Luke we have ever
seen.
The
longest embrace. Oh my gosh. And they're like glued together at the hips.
Right?
It's bizarre. She calls him Lucas.
They're uncomfortably close.
Yeah.
When they're talking after the hug, they are so... And I don't know if it's because like COVID, we're all...
I mean, it looks like...
stationed to be 6 feet apart, but they're like 6 inches apart.
It looks like a pose you would do for an engagement photo shoot. You know?
Right?
It kind of does.
Luke and Mia.
So my note is, I don't understand Mia's energy. She's both old lady kind and rich woman mean.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, she really is. And it's something worth noting, I think, is, so this is Mia currently. Mia will be played by a different actress with kind of a different vibe in the future. Mm-hmm. So this is a very distinct era of Mia.
Mm-hmm.
And in this scene with Luke, we learn that Luke wore a Star Trek shirt.
He was a Trekkie,
which, no shame, that's a pretty cool fandom to be part of. But of course, Lorelai and Rory tease him mercilessly.
To be fair, this is before the Star Trek movies came out in the 2000s, when it kind of got, like, a resurgence. Mm-hmm. This was prime, like, you're a nerd if you like Star Trek, which I hate that thought, but...
Yeah.
We're nerds.
It makes
sense. We just talked about Dungeons and Dragons, like, 5 seconds ago.
it makes sense for Lorelai and Rory to make fun of him for that. Not that it's right, it just doesn't surprise me.
It fits with, like, the era. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is when the toaster situation is happening, because Jess comes downstairs and immediately is like, yeah, you're fixing that wrong. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know, why does Jess know how to fix the toaster?
Luke has got, like, a screwdriver, like, shoved in the toaster or something terrible. Like,
thank God it's not plugged in.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Also, toasters aren't really super expensive appliances.
No, they're not. No. They're not.
Maybe, like, the semi-industrial one that Luke has because of it being a diner. But honestly, he refers later to, you know, he has to use, like, the crappy little one because his big one isn't working. There's not much of a size difference.
They both take two.
They're both two-slice toasters. So what Luke needs is an upgrade. Yeah. But Mia is loving it because, I believe, Taylor comes in to the diner during this scene. Mm-hmm. And explodes. It's a classic Taylor versus Luke moment.
I thought this moment was, let's say, interesting in how fiercely Luke defends Jess.
Yeah.
That's family.
Like, you're going to get a fiercer in the town meeting, but, like, Luke is, like, down to defend Jess. And I was like, oh, wow, for a kid who, you get so much attitude from, families comes first.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I don't quite fully understand, clearly the police force is involved. Why is Taylor the one tracking down and investigating this whole crime?
Because I think the police, the police are like, this is a joke. We're not going to waste our time on this. And Taylor's like, well, then I'm going to, he's doing some, like, vigilante justice here. And
it starts hollow. What else are the police doing?
Well, what else has Jess been doing is the question.
Taylor's actor memorizing all of those acronyms, I could never.
Fantastic.
You're right?
Yeah. A lot of great acting on this show, but in essence...
Yeah, there's a lot of moments where, like, Taylor's character just really drives me crazy. But, like, you cannot say anything bad about the actor. He does a great job with him.
He really does.
Yeah.
He makes you hate him. Mm-hmm. And that's the best sign of an actor.
Yeah.
But, you know, so Mia and Lorelai are talking, and they kind of talk about when Lorelai first arrived, this plucky little girl with a little kid in her arms, saying, like, I want a job, or I'll do any job, or whatever it was. And I don't know if you guys saw that show Made
on Netflix. I have not.
Okay. There's a trigger warning associated with Made, because there's abuse and stuff. But it is basically the same concept of a girl with a little kid, right, going to someone's house and just being like, I will clean, just give me anything to do, right? Lorelai seems picturesque.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she had, like, immediately became the best maid there was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And more girl-on-girl hate. All the maids hated you.
Yeah, because they were so slow. It's like, well, you know what? They were also doing their job. Like,
yeah.
And you were just a teenager that got to live there from off the street. They probably all had to apply, you know?
Yeah. Well, I find it hard to believe that there is not at least one other competent maid on that staff before she showed up. And that's kind of what it's implied to believe.
Well, I mean, it's also very clear that she was Mia's favorite. And if you've ever worked anywhere where the boss has a favorite, you know that it's not a great feeling. It's an awkward workplace situation.
Yep.
But Mia kind of says that Lorelai has made her redundant. You know, Lorelai has been such a great manager that they don't even need the general manager of the place.
I mean, made clear by the fact that we never see Mia.
See her, like, yeah.
What would her job be? Lorelai literally runs the place.
Mm-hmm. And without you, I wouldn't know what to do. And God, Rory and Lorelai's faces.
Yeah.
It kind of, the whole conversation makes me wonder, like, I understand Lorelai being scared to start her own business, but she's clearly been running this in nobody above her for years. Like, obviously there's something scary with the startup and all the money that's going to be involved, but, like, clearly she's a competent executive manager of the inn. Like, to me, it just, there wouldn't, I feel like she should have been more confident in what was happening.
Yeah.
Because if she owned the Independence Inn, you know, obviously, it's great.
Yeah, Lorelai's confidence definitely takes a dive in this episode. Like, she even, we'll get it when she talks to Luke, but, like, she's confident in the things she has done already. Right? So where's that confidence in the things she will do?
Yeah.
It's that conversation she has with Luke of she does the things she can do the things she has to do. Like, well, I think that kind of shows you, Lorelai, that you can do anything you put your mind to. Just because you don't have to do it doesn't mean that you can't.
Yeah.
We move on to the inn. And, you know, Lorelai immediately tells Suki about how she didn't really think about Mia in all of this.
So I think it's interesting because she says, like, I didn't even think about telling Mia that we wanted to leave and start our own inn. And that's, I think it's such an interesting way to look at it because at the end of the day, it's employment, right? When you're thinking about employment and you're thinking about bettering yourself through a different job, you shouldn't be worried about what your boss thinks. But there's so much tied into her position at the Independence Inn and her experience with Mia. She can't separate the two. It's not about, I'm doing this because it's best for me. It's all of a sudden like, but Mia gave me everything. Like, how could I do this to her? And that really sets her on a path through this episode that makes her even more uncomfortable with this kind of like tough thing they're going through.
And unfortunately in corporate America,
you don't want to tell your boss.
No. Yeah. Because in corporate America's mind, everyone is replaceable.
Oh yeah.
Everyone can be trained for the new job. You're not the only person that knows how to do A, B, and C. And it's like, man, the way corporations treat people really sucks.
My last job, I knew in 2 months' time I was going to be starting a new program to learn software development, and I was not going to give my I was going to give the standard 2 months or 2 weeks notice, but then they started wanting me to take on like kind of an assistant manager role in my department. So instead of taking that on, I was like, "Hey, so you don't train me in all of this, and out of respect for you, like here's what's going on. Here's what's going to be my last day." They basically had me work out my 2 weeks, and then at the end of the day on a Friday, like, you're done here. I know you were going to work here for another month, but you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I did all of this out of respect for you and the company, and you guys literally just crapped on me.
Yep. So, and that's kind of what companies do. And Lorelai in this situation,
I mean, Lorelai has so much privilege, though, in this situation, though, to, like, know that she is so wanted at her current job and have the ability to be able to tell her boss and have her boss, like, cheer for her.
True. But yeah, so at the same time that this is happening with Suki and Lorelai, Lorelai gets a phone call from Emily. And Emily's complaining about Rory not being the stellar little person that she has
to be.
What
is this pose in this chair?
It's ridiculous. She's got one arm like raised and curved up over her head.
Like a ballerina? Like she's trying to do a ballerina while pose sitting down. Oh gosh, yeah.
And there's a swan.
And of course, Rory's trying to do it, but anybody who has had to hold their arms out or above their head for any extended period of time knows they just eventually, they get tired. Doesn't matter how strong you are. Like, your arms get tired. And
I love how Lorelai just hits the nail on the head with, are you making her do this? Well, it's only one arm.
What would you rather have me do? Have her read a book? Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's perfect. That is Rory Gilmore to a T.
That's Rory Gilmore, but that's also a lot of what Rory and Richard's relationship is based on, is the books that they read and discuss together. Like, it's perfect.
It's literally perfect. And this scene does have yet another example of asshole animals, which is a
swan
theme throughout.
Just a swan.
Swan. The swan is mean sounding, and Emily decides to cut the swan because it's hungry, quote unquote.
Well... we move back to Stars Hollow, and it's a town meeting. We have a town meeting, guys.
Finally. I really thought there were more town meetings than this. I think they must get more prevalent in later seasons, because
I do too.
I think they do, yeah.
I think about town meetings. Obviously, we named our podcast after it, as being a pretty big thing in the show.
Mm-hmm. And Lorelai and Rory and Mia are like, we're late. But no, we're not late, because we see Luke, and Luke is never late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, town meeting's in process. Yeah.
Yeah.
All about a freaking 17-year-old kid.
That's really
the just situation.
The wild part about this. Like, the entire town, minus a handful of people who the town know will be on his side, are literally talking about running this 17-year-old boy who is in a bad situation out of town.
I got the impression that Lorelai was invited. That's why she's saying she's late.
Oh, I thought that it was just that, you know, they thought that
it was
regular time.
I think it's just Luke who was not invited.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if they thought it was supposed to start at like 7:30, 7:45, but the standard time is 8.
But Luke does say the time on his watch, because they ask him what time it is, and they don't say anything about being late. They say they should go back and get pie to make themselves late.
This is true. They probably knew Lorelai would have sided with Luke.
Right, and probably. She does. Good for her.
Even though she clearly does not like this boy either.
But at this meeting...
No, but she likes Luke.
Yeah, at this meeting,
yes.
Essentially the town has come together to discuss all of Jess's crimes and why they don't like him.
Wait, can we talk about his crimes?
Yes. So his crimes are that he stole that money from Taylor, which was repaid.
Which is fair.
Right? That's not cool, but it got paid back. Mm-hmm. He stole the gnome. Pierpont was returned.
Pierpont.
Yep. He also hooted one of Miss Patty's dances.
Which,
what does that even mean?
Rose.
Like, he just walked by and went, hoo hoo.
He's in New York.
He took a garden hose from Fran's yard.
Which,
oh no.
Jess, what are you doing?
Why did he steal a hose? Yeah, what do you do with the hose? And my son, Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew says that his son set off all the fire alarms at school.
Which, that's like...
Okay, first of all, Andrew had a son.
Surprise.
Has a son.
I didn't even know he was married.
Like, Andrew doesn't look old enough to have a teenager.
Andrew has white hair.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, like, gray and white in his hair.
Okay.
Anyway. But, like, also, setting off a fire alarm without a fire is, I think, at
free
least...
15-minute break.
Woo! But, I mean, it's at least a misdemeanor, if not, like, a felony.
Yeah, that's, like, a serious...
It's, like, a serious thing. So, if that had happened, he would have been in legal trouble.
I just remember as a student, whenever the fire alarm went off, I was like, yeah, break.
Yeah.
Like, I was never upset about it.
Yeah.
As a student.
And then, of course, he controls the weather, and also he wrote the screenplay to Glitter.
Yeah.
Which is the funniest thing. But yeah, so Luke is defensive, and immediately Bootsy gets involved.
Well, Bootsy
this
has
been...
This is
a Bootsy-heavy episode.
Yeah. But it turns out there's beef between Bootsy and Luke. I like combined Bootsy, Luke, and beef into
Bootsy.
But no, there's like drama about stepping on art projects as children. It's dumb, and Luke is correct. Luke is the one who is right here. And Lorelai comes to his support him and says that if there is an issue, which we're not saying there is, Luke needs to be given time to deal with it before the entire town gets involved. Because at this point, Luke is his guardian, and that's the way that it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Luke is done with the town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's even like, I was going to stay open for you guys, but no.
Nope.
Good. Wield that power.
Yeah.
Right? Do it.
Real quick, when the town meeting, when they first walk in, do you guys see Mrs. Cassini? Mm-mm. Like, before they start referring to her about, like, they whatever Jess did to her, she is sitting, like, in the second to last row, just passed out.
Oh, yes.
Like, oh.
Her eyes are closed.
The extremely Mrs. Lanahan.
Oh, Lanahan. Yes. Lanahan. Mrs. Lanahan. Lanahan. Sorry. Wrong
yeah,
name.
Yeah.
Because apparently.
I only remember it because of West Wing.
She had to go elsewhere. She had to go to a different grocery store to get her head of lettuce. And Lorelai says to her very blatantly out loud, "You shouldn't be driving anymore." Which
that is such a funny joke.
It's but like what a wild
what
thing
in this
to
context
say.
Makes you think that?
Because she's old?
Because she's sleepy.
Asleep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the elderly and driving is like a whole discussion that we don't need to have, yeah. But
we don't need to go into.
Whenever you watch this episode again, like the second they walk into the town meeting, watch her. She's just, in all of the scenes that they're in camera.
Yeah, she's out.
We find out that Dean's the poor person that has to clean up the sidewalk, which is
and
funny.
And he's been doing it for like a long time.
For days. Like,
what did he
I
use?
Swear to you, a hose that was stolen from France
because
could wash this in 5 seconds.
The other thing is that wasn't it Taylor said in the scene where he came to confront Luke that Jess was seen skulking around some chalk or something? So I had assumed then that this was a chalk outline.
Chalk, yeah.
And so the fact that hose. Dean can't get the chalk off the sidewalk makes me worry for Dean.
Well, and he says he's scraping it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
We see it, like, we see it, and you see the outline
faded,
and it's a lot
yeah.
fainter than it was. It's like, did Jess find permanent chalk somewhere? What is this?
This is
as far as
chalk.
I know, this, yes.
Well, this does allow, because Rory goes off to find Dean, mm-hmm. Lorelai and Mia to have their conversation. And back to the corporate conversation we were having before.
Yes.
Mia's down. She's like,
Mia's like,
oh,
yeah.
You're leaving?
This is great.
Cool. Oh my gosh.
What?
That means that we yeah. missed an entire Mia Michelle moment that was pretty important. I'm just realizing.
Oh, when Mia finally understands Michelle?
Yeah. Mia and Michelle are trying to solve this lamp problem, and he speaks mm-hmm. to her completely normally. And, like, I am very privileged. I don't have an accent. I've spoken English as my first language my entire life. But, like, how frustrating for Michelle to have to continue to follow his boss around while she's probably been like, I can't understand you all day. Because he's very mm-hmm. defeated when he tells her, like, we can build a base. Like, and I understood yeah. that. And they both have to act so excited. Ugh, Michelle, I feel for you, my
it's
friend.
It's so condescending.
That's why it makes me feel like she's half-trolling this entire time, because as soon as he says something that's helpful, oh, I understand that.
I got every
and
word of
before
that.
That wasn't something that she really needed to hear.
Yeah.
Also, that lamp was straight from the 90s.
Oh, it was a Tiffany lamp. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But that is why Lorelai had held off on telling Mia, because she was like, oh mm-hmm. no, Mia's so happy about understanding Michelle and the lamp. And then Suki makes chicken noises, that too. So yes, Mia has been told at this point, and Mia is like super down to the point where she's like, this is great news because it means that I can sell she the can- inn.
Yep.
It makes me feel like she's been holding on to the inn for Lorelai's sake.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I got that impression, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And
Lorelai freaks
out.
Absolutely. Spirals.
And this next scene is harsh. It's a hard one to watch. Mm-hmm. Lorelai arrives at the inn the next day, and she's, like, preparing for a wedding or some kind of event.
She's doing busy work that I feel like yeah. any other person that works there should have been doing.
Yeah,
not the manager. Anyway. Yeah, no, I agree. And Suki comes over with the menu. It's actually for the Duncan wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it down. And apparently, like, the entire thing is scratched out and, like, new things are written in. And Lorelai's just like, I can't read this. And it's not amused.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Like Lorelai normally would be. It's just cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Suki is being her absolute normal, cheery, excited
Chipper.
Self. Earlier in the episode, Lorelai had praised her kind of scatterbrained brilliance joke that people call mm-hmm. her the maestro. And so Suki is just business
now,
as usual. And now she is just It's awful. This scene really hurts me because I'm such a Suki fan. And they have what turns out to be their first big friend fight. Their entire relationship, they have not had a fight like this.
As much as I hate to say it, I do think this is a conversation that Lorelai and Suki needed to have, maybe in a less angry tone.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I think the points that Lorelai made were relevant, and I think we see that too when they're opening the dragonfly. There's a whole episode about the breakdown of essentially. It's like, I feel like Lorelai made valid points in a very not great and angry way.
Yeah.
Well, Lorelai even says, like, in business, you have to be detached. Lorelai's not detached right now.
No.
No, but she, I mean, no, she says, you're never on time. You can't keep a menu the same. I can't count on you, budget essentially. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's telling her how that's not going to work. And, you know, maybe they're not ready to start. And it's the hardest part for me is when Suki eventually is like, we're having this conversation because Lorelai keeps being like, trying to like end it. And Suki's like, no, we're having this conversation. And she even says, you were the one who got this ball rolling, because Lorelai was the one who called her out of the blue and was like, let's do it.
Let's get started.
Remember, Lorelai was sad and alone, and so she decided she was going to make the inn happen. And Suki says, you know, you got the ball rolling, and we were both on the ball, and you hopped off the ball, and I'm still on the ball. And she's still trying to make it work.
She says, Lorelai's like, you know, this is too much for me. And Suki goes, that's why we'll be partners. When things get too heavy for one person, the other can pick up the slack. And Lorelai gets her claws out. And she's just like, well, my back is killing me from the slack I've picked up from you.
Yes.
That's not the way to approach a business meeting. This is not a business meeting. This is a friendship fight.
No.
But this is a business meeting at the same time.
I don't feel like any of the business meetings in this episode, other than the very first one between Luke and Lorelai, actually count as business meetings.
No.
No. Any meeting where one best friend has to say, I can't cry in front of you because it's just going to give you something else to say, I'm too emotional.
I'm too emotional.
Oh my gosh.
And Lorelai was so patronizing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, she was.
So bad.
Not her finest hour.
Made me not like Lorelai here. Like, I was like, this is not the person I like so much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, after Suki and Lorelai stop fighting, we go over to Dozie's, the town square. Basically, Rory and Dean are walking through town together, and Dean has to stop at the market because he has to pick up his paycheck before four, because otherwise
Taylor will be Taylor.
Taylor on just a timer won't give it to him.
And up saunters,
I hate Taylor.
Jess, looking like a snack, and he's pretty pleased with himself.
And Rory's like, no.
I thought it was so funny that Rory's like giving one word answers, and he's like, feeling succinct today, huh? And it's like, Jess Mariano, the person who says, huh, a million times an episode, is calling someone out.
Yeah, and then he has the gall to be like, did I do something to offend? And she lets him have it. She is just like, Luke has done so much for me and my mom, and you are making everybody upset with him. And Jess like tries to play it off at first, but I mean, Rory gets a second wind and goes off on him again, and it really seems to hit Jess that Luke is really sticking his neck out for him, and Jess is not giving him anything in return. And I mean,
I thought it was really cute that Jess came back to his credit.
I don't know.
And she does listen, and I do think that he takes it to heart.
Yes, based on...
I feel like this is the beginning of the turning point with Jess and Luke, where he finally starts to realize, like, oh, this guy's, like, actually here for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas before he's been, obviously, not had that kind of parental role.
Yeah.
And I do also like that Jess is like, oh, I didn't realize they were coming down so hard on him. And Rory's just like, you're not stupid, man.
This is
like, don't pretend.
This is also the very, very beginning glimmers of what is coming.
Yeah,
because he asks her like, but it was funny.
Yeah,
and she smiles. She doesn't say yes. She says that's not the point. But like, oh, it's so exciting.
And immediately Dean comes out.
Yeah.
And he is so tall.
He's extremely tall. And
does like boyfriend?
You never said
it. Of course.
What? Yeah. When would she have ever had the opportunity to be like, I have a boyfriend up until now. The dinner that you walked out of every time you've grumped through the diner. Like, when would she have had the chance to sit down and be like, I'm in a committed relationship?
And he's already trying to split them up. Oh, you never said.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Because we know Dean.
Yeah, there's no other reason to say that.
He doesn't back down either. No. Yeah. And Dean just looks confused.
Thank goodness.
Dean is nice here. Yeah. Dean is, he's a good boyfriend here. I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, this is clearly before the Jess Dean animosity has really gotten going.
Yeah. Oh, and it will go.
Oh, yes, it will. It will. But speaking of animosity, did I say
animosity?
Animosity?
Animosity. Yeah. We go to the Friday night dinner, and Lorelai shoves her coat and purse at this woman.
Yeah. Lorelai's in a bad mood, and Rory, like, immediately calls it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she continues to be in a bad mood, which is such a bummer, because Emily is so excited at the beginning of this Friday night dinner. She's so happy. Mm-hmm. She's so proud of it. She wants to show it off. The painting is great. Rory likes it. Emily likes it. And Lorelai just has her arms crossed and just, again, like, monosyllables. Doesn't care.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jess. Quick question. Is the painting great?
I mean, I think so. It looks like Alexis. It's big. That's my qualification.
She looks like she's had, like, a holy moment while reading this book. Like, she looks like a little angel.
I guess that's what fancy rich grandmother, and I was paying for that, that is what I would expect.
I suppose so.
Richard will love it.
You know what?
I think it's very pretty.
Yes, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's not a bad one.
It could be worse. It could definitely be worse. So, yeah, and Lorelai is just super harsh with Emily. And Emily is just like, you know, I don't remember doing anything to you this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why am I getting this?
Well, it's not so often that Emily comes in just like overly excited and happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she actually is. And to be fair, Emily does break down. Lorelai's overly excited and happy quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I feel like it hurt. Lorelai's actions are still uncalled for.
Yeah.
And they have a little conversation where, you know, she explains what Lorelai explains to Emily what's going on. And Emily says, basically, I understand. I've had bad days too.
Yeah.
And I think that was such a moment of growth.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. I feel like Emily handled that very well compared to what she could have done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So now it's the next day, and Luke is over at the Gilmore Girls fixing the huppah that's
waterproofing destroyed. The huppah.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
But he and did
Gilbert
the goat.
Headless.
Yeah.
I feel like they were just looking for a reason to have Luke over at the
house. Absolutely. Yeah, like, are you telling me there's nothing else that he could fix? There's always something.
Are you saying that in...
Are they not just friends that they can go over each other's houses?
No, because then who knows what would happen.
But are you telling me in all of this time since he gifted her the huppah, it's never rained?
Pretty much.
But yeah, so Lorelai is ranting to Luke, and I do like that line, if I cry, will it freak you out? And then Luke repeating it back to her later on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cute.
But I love seeing their friendship. There's some really good Luke Lorelai friendship scenes in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because there really isn't like a romantic overtone to or undertone to either of these. It's just friends. He's giving her advice, and it's good advice.
I do think it's good for Lorelai too. I feel like the conversation with Emily and the conversation with Luke, she gets a little more out of it to really understand why she's feeling the way that she is. So hopefully that by the time she gets to Suki, she can really explain, like, I'm sorry, here's why I acted the way that I did, and here's my concerns.
She does say that this is her memory home going away, right? And I know I've been there, like, my childhood home was sold, and that was heartbreaking, right? You can never go back to the place that, like, you did your first things. And she does say, like, this is where I took my first step, right? Mm-hmm. And I like that imagery of Rory taking her first step, and then also Lorelai mm-hmm. taking her first step into adulthood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about being an adult is you have to let things go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we do get back to the independence, and she apologizes. And Suki, when she comes in, is just like, Suki's just all business. She is still upset because that fight sucked, and she's not changed anything on the menu. She's trying to be, you know,
she's making meatloaf
responsible. She's
like, on which, time, by the way, and on budget.
Yeah.
I would kill for Suki's meatloaf.
I'm not a meatloaf person, but I might eat it if Suki made it.
New Jersey doesn't do good meatloaf. Anyways, so yeah, Lorelai apologizes. I don't think it's the best apology she could have done.
No, and also, Suki is so ready for the fight to be over that she's just kind of crumbles pretty quickly. Yeah.
I feel like of all the things Lorelai said to Emily, Lorelai said to Luke, opening up with how she feels, I'm like, these are the things you need to say to Suki. The things, you know, the person you actually had the fight with. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're going into business with her. She needs to understand what your feelings are here and what compromises and what things you guys need to do for each other to make this successful.
Yeah. And Suki's right in that, you know, she's concerned that Lorelai will freak out again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's valid.
Yeah.
Lorelai is also valid in her concerns about Suki, but we'll get to that at a later date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they make up. And at the same time, Mia is in the, I guess,
she's
the lobby.
In the lobby.
Just out there managing for the first time.
Yeah.
When Emily Gilmore steps in.
Because
this is a heartbreaking scene.
During the conversation between Emily and Lorelai during the Friday night dinner, Lorelai had brought up that Mia was there and Mia was part of the reason why she was in such a weird place. And Emily did react when Mia was brought up because Mia, I mean, in this scene, she says, I wanted to see the woman who, you know, raised my daughter. And it's not a friendly meeting, at least not on Emily's side.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's a tense meeting for sure. Yeah.
Mia even comments on it.
Yeah, I do like that, like, Mia's like, you know, I was thinking of, like, what if this was my daughter, right? Mm-hmm. What would I want? And it's like, I would want someone to take care of my runaway daughter. And Emily's just like, and I would have liked if someone would have sent her home.
And then my first thought was, what did you do, Emily, when Rory showed up on your doorstep in a fight with her mom?
Yeah, you didn't even let her speak to her.
Yeah. Like, I understand it's different situations.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Rory went to her grandma. Lorelai went to a complete stranger and is clearly has no plans to go
home.
And
also was a minor at the time, technically.
Yeah.
Well, they both were.
Rory was in college by then, so. Oh, no.
Already.
No.
Oh, no. I'm talking about during the Dean breakup.
Right. I thought you were talking about the later years.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like a kind of a similar situation because Rory came to Emily and said, like, my mom and I had a fight, you know, and I don't want to be there. And I'm sure that when Lorelai showed up at the inn, I'm sure that she had a reason why she couldn't go home, that she told Mia, you know, like, I can't be with my parents for X reason. We know Lorelai is not one to be quiet. She probably said plenty. I understand both sides here. I think that Mia was who Lorelai needed at the time. And Mia repeatedly tries to get Emily to, like, have some lunch with me or how about we get a cup of tea. Emily does not want that. Emily just wanted to see her and leave, and she does not want Lorelai to know that she came.
But she does want one thing.
Yes.
And that's if, pictures. Can you please give me some pictures of that time?
Yeah.
Oh, my heart.
And she gets almost out the door. And she turns around and says, do you have any pictures from that time? And Mia will send her a whole box tomorrow. Like, oh, how heartbreaking that somebody else has all of those baby pictures of Rory, all of those pictures of your little girl being a mother. Like, that's rough.
And you have to think how hard, like, we know how prideful Emily is, how hard it had to be for her to actually ask that of Mia, too.
Yeah.
Well, we end the episode in Luke's diner. Jess is actually working.
Yes.
Like, he's picking up plates and mugs.
It's wow, so it's like he's stepping it up a little.
just a little. And Rory and Lorelai are there for breakfast, and Rory wants some toast. Again, there was a whole toaster thing going on in this episode.
Yeah, secret toaster behind the scenes. And so Luke says it's going to take a bit because he has to use his bad one. And Jess is like, you can use this one.
Yep.
No, that one's broken. And well, it must have got better.
No, it's not. And that look between Jess and Rory.
Because the implication is that, you know, Jess fixed the toaster and he's trying to be a good boy now, but it is starting, and Lorelai doesn't see it, you know? This is before Lorelai has even caught wind of this potential, but...
Well, Lorelai's in denial for a while, too, when it does start.
But you can see it. It's Rory's crush is growing. And Jess's crush has been there from the start, but at least in Rory's side, you can definitely see.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the ins and outs of the ins. Is that the title of the episode?
The ins and outs of the ins.
Outs of ins.
That's it. Guys, townsperson of the week. I only have one person that it could be.
I have one.
Oh my gosh.
Suki.
How about you, Emily?
I have somebody.
Not Suki.
I didn't even think about it. I completely forgot. But yeah.
Okay.
Mine's not Suki either.
Mine is Luke.
Luke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He stepped up. He defended his nephew. He was a good friend. He helped with business stuff. Like, I don't know.
He embraced.
I was really into Luke in this episode.
Mia, like, some
he wasn't
kind of...
overtly racist at any point. Yes. In time.
Yeah.
Not that Suki was.
No. My thoughts with Suki was just that, like, Suki was just trying really hard in this episode, but no, Luke is, I think Luke definitely deserves it, because Luke is fighting an uphill battle for a lot of this season, and I think he deserves it.
All right, then. Luke Danes, congratulations, you win Townsperson of the Week.
And after Townsperson of the Week, we have References with Sandra.
So references this week, I wanted to focus on the ones that probably confuse the average person, like is not too well known in the 2022 lexicon. And both of them are from our boy, Jess Mariano.
Yes.
So the first one we have is a scene where Luke tells Jess to go to school and not cause any more trouble. And Jess says, guess that means calling off the chicky race down at the Salt Flats. So do either of you guys know what that means? No?
No.
Yes? No? Okay, I had no idea either. So this is a reference to actually two different movies. The first is Rebel Without a Cause, the 1955 James Dean film.
Dean's from my home state. Anyway.
This movie was about a kid named Jim Stark in L.A. and how the morals of the American youth were changing and how that caused problems with the older generation. Wow, can't imagine that.
What?
The movie has some spectacular acting, but in particular is known for starring James Dean, who unfortunately was killed in a car accident when he was only 24 years old. This movie actually came out a month after his death.
Oh, man.
So it kind of became like a cult classic.
Oh, yeah.
So what does calling off the chicken run down at the Salt Flats even mean? Well, in this movie, Jim and the leader of a local gang, whose name is Buzz, as you call
Lightyear
kids in the 50s. they clash and they decide to do a chicky run. So it's in which two people drive headlong towards each other or towards something murderous. And the first person to swerve away is the chicky or the chicken.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a game of chicken.
Yeah.
Basically, yes. In the film, the chicky run is headed straight towards the cliffs that oversee the ocean. And obviously, if you're in a car heading straight towards the ocean.
Sounds like a great way to die.
Someone's going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And guess what? Someone does die. Spoiler alert for the movie made in 1955.
How dare you?
And Buzz, the gang leader, does his jacket becomes entangled with the door.
Oh, no.
As he tries to save himself. And he does actually goes off the cliff. But the second movie this references is Footloose. The 1984 movie. Footloose. Yes, that one. About a town that outlaws dancing and is set in the salty flat of Utah. Ren, the main character.
Kevin Bacon.
I mean, he just wants to dance. Yeah, he just wants to dance. In this movie, Footloose actually pays homage to Rebel Without a Cause and does their own chicky run, this time on tractors. Although no one dies here, there's also a problem, a similar problem, where instead of a jacket, it's the shoelaces that get caught.
That movie is a real trip. If you haven't seen it, it is... Dancing has been outlawed, but the teens want to dance!
Also, make sure you watch the original. Yes. There was a remake.
There was a remake. There was a remake. Yeah. But, of course, instead of Ren dying, he actually wins the race. So, a special thank you to Annotated Gilmore Girls, their website, for helping me out with this. Because I truly had no idea what the heck Jess was talking about. But now that I know that it's both a reference to James Dean, arguably the biggest Devil May Care character ever created, up there with Holden Caulfield, who was also mentioned in this episode. And Footloose, a movie about a town that keeps you down. I mean, what's more, Jess?
Jess so has to relate to Kevin Bacon.
The second reference, like I said, is also by Jess. When he and Rory have their little confrontation in front of Dozies, Jess says, "I'm not really familiar with the blue book laws in this town." And I'm sure most people will understand blue book laws, or at the very least have heard of Sunday laws. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't, or if you're not from America, blue laws are laws that restrict or ban some or all Sunday activities. They can restrict shopping in general or specific items, mostly alcohol. So
in Indiana, until about 2 or 3 years ago, you could not buy alcohol on Sundays.
Wow.
Now you can buy it between noon and six on Sundays. So you know, or maybe it's noon and eight.
So I thought it would be fun if we went through our own states. So
Sorry. With
it. No, you're fine.
Is that why you asked me for a state?
Yeah.
I should have given you my Oregon. Home state.
Yeah, Oregon doesn't have blue laws.
Because we're wild like that.
You're too progressive.
So, Indiana, you're totally right, obviously. But...
well, yeah, it inhibits my drinking.
But one thing I want to mention with Indiana is that at one point, alcohol sales were prohibited on New Year's Eve.
Wow.
That's harsh,
man. When was this?
That's harsh. It was until...
That is harsh.
2018. So anytime before 2018. No. Were you able to buy?
I mean, I guess all the alcohol I was buying up to 2018 was at the bars on New Year's Eve.
And I'm sure
and
it's
you
like...
can still buy alcohol at restaurants and bars on Sundays.
Yeah.
So
just not on you. Now it is.
I feel like it's probably also one of those laws where it's like, it's technically still a law or was technically still a law, but people just ignored
just not
it.
Followed.
Like those ones that are like,
I'm going to ask my parents.
You can't eat ice cream while being horseback. Like those kind of weird laws that like exist, but nobody follows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So New Jersey, right, which is my state, we have really strict blue laws, but in very specific places. So in most of the state, no one cares. But it's really, really strict. And you can't do anything on Sunday. And now some of the biggest malls in our state are located in those areas. Mm. So it does cause a little bit of a problem, let's say. Because grocery stores, gas stations, pharmacies, hotels, restaurants, and other entertainment venues such as movie theaters, all closed Sundays.
Wow.
Yeah. They tried to repeal it in 2010, but people don't want to repeal it. So
I mean, that means a lot of people get the day off, which is nice, right?
Yeah. The only time it was temporarily suspended was during Hurricane Sandy, when people needed supplies. So they opened it for then on November 11th, and by November 18th, back in effect. So
I would like to add on to the weirdness of New Jersey's laws, and this is probably completely 100% normal for you, Sandra. This is not a blue law. It is illegal to pump your own gas in New Jersey.
Oregon, too.
Yeah.
And maybe...
It's the best.
I love it. I'm from Washington, so this is the truth.
I'm from Indiana, where nobody, like, you pump your own gas everywhere. So, like, Sean and I, whenever we go to visit, like, we will stop at the last gas station in Pennsylvania to fill up so we won't have to do it. Because we're like, oh, we have to talk to people. We have to tell them how much gas we want. This is so awkward. We can't do it.
I have never said
it's
anything.
Great. You don't have to get out of your right? car.
I just someone else hand over my card and say, fill it with regular.
Exactly.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I say, fill it with regular.
$15 cash.
And then I don't need my receipt. Thank you. And that's all. And I stayed warm and cozy. And I'm from Washington, so, like, I grew up, I had to pump my own gas. I knew how, but I have a lot of friends from Oregon who genuinely are like, I don't know what to do.
I'm so socially awkward that I don't know how to talk to, you know, a gas attendant.
Yeah. Well, if you live there, you'd
get used
to it.
Kudos for them. Yeah.
So, just as Oregon doesn't have any, Washington does.
Ooh, okay.
So mostly Washington is, again, liquor. Alcohol is just not allowed. And they have a very specific rule which says spirits may only be sold in premises out of at least 10,000 square feet, generally including grocery stores or warehouse clubs, but not any liquor stores that are tiny.
Yeah.
Or any little tiny
we
places.
We got rid of liquor stores. Like, in the last decade, so there are no liquor stores anymore. You get it at grocery stores.
Crazy.
Like, I bought a handle of Malibu at a grocery store. Or if you want tequila, you go to Safeway or Kroger. Or, like, that's way different from Oregon. We still have liquor stores in Oregon. So when I go home, my parents are like, oh, yeah, we need to stock up. And people have bananas next to, like, Jose Cuervo. It's crazy.
That's insane.
That's super normal. I mean, Indiana just has a mix. Mm.
New Jersey has liquor stores.
I mean, we have liquor stores. We have liquor
stores. We don't. Oh, God,
there's
ours are gone.
10 within a 5-mile radius of where I live. But then every grocery store has, like, a full liquor section as well. They just can't sell cold beer.
Oh.
So for the most part, if you need cold beer, that's when you have to go to the liquor store.
Interesting.
We have cold beer in our grocery stores in Oregon, but you can't get hard alcohol. This is very related to Gilmore Girls.
I love driving to, I have a friend of mine who lives in Alabama, and they have liquor stores attached to their gas stations.
That's crazy.
And that just, like, blows my mind. Oh, I'm like, but you stop here to get gas because you're driving.
Yeah.
And you're
please don't pick up any alcohol.
Get some Jim Beam while you're at it.
I remember when I went to Florida, and you can go to CVS and just pick up some wine.
Oh, we have,
and I'm just
yeah.
like, this is weird.
Our drugstores have wine now, too.
This is weird.
All of our drugstores have an aisle of booze.
You just go to Vegas, and it can be anytime, any whatever. Just pick up alcohol, whatever you want. Anyways, those were my references for this week.
Done with the booze laws.
And yeah, but after references, we have a book with Emily.
Books, movies, and music with Emily. With Emily.
So this week, we are going to do a classic, To Ooh. Kill a Mockingbird.
Hell yeah.
So in the scene where Rory and Jess are standing outside of Dosey's, and Rory is just laying into Jess. Jess says something along the lines of, "This isn't To Kill a Mockingbird," talking about the town. I don't remember the exact quote. That's when he mentions it, though, and that's really the only book I saw mentioned in this episode. So, To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. So, this book was published in 1960. So, there's obviously some civil rights things going on, mm-hmm. roughly, or at least shortly before this time. But the book itself is based on, it's told by the story of six-year-old Jean Louise Finch. It takes place during the Great Depression from 1933 to 35 in Alabama. So basically what happens is, this is another very racially intense book. Jean and her brother Jeremy, Jean goes by Scout, Jeremy goes by Jem, and their widowed father Atticus is a lawyer. Jem and Scout befriend a boy named Dill who visits Macomb, Alabama, where they live, to stay with his aunt each summer. The three children, so Jem, Scout, and Dill, are terrified of their neighbor, Arthur Boo Radley, who I think we've done a Boo Radley reference in the past, at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think. So he's been in town for years, but most people kind of stay away from him. This kind of reminded me a lot of, like, The Sandlot. Of the guy who owns the big dog, and like he's some kind of baseball legend, but nobody knows. Anyway,
the recluse.
James Earl Jones is awesome. Yeah. So basically, the children feed off of each other's imaginations, making these wild stories and fantasize about what he, you know, who he is, and try to get him out of the house. They start leaving small gifts in a tree outside of his house, and then a couple of times, Boo will make gestures of affection towards the kids, but they never actually have an interaction. He leave like gifts and stuff out there to them. Well, then Judge Taylor of the town appoints Atticus, so Jem and Scout's dad, to defend Tom Robinson, a black man who's been accused of raping a young white woman, Mayella Yule. Although many of the citizens disapprove, Atticus agrees to defend Tom to the best of his ability, and that basically sets the kids up for bad things, to get taunted and jeered and bullied. And I'm pretty sure Atticus gets a lot of this hate as well. He doesn't want his kids to be present at the trial. No seats available. But the Reverend Skies invites the kids to watch from the colored balcony, because that was a thing.
Segregation.
And it's awful. Atticus establishes that Mayella, so the victim, and Bob Ewell are lying. It is revealed that Mayella made sexual advances towards Tom, subsequently resulting in her being beaten by her father. It goes on. That's kind of the setup for the story. I don't want to give too many spoilers. I know this book came out like 60 years ago. But again, another very racially tense book that is mentioned on this show that tends to have a lot of racist references.
Yeah, and this book, Harper Lee did such a great job. Then you put it in an episode where one of the only POCs is just getting attacked the entire time.
Yeah.
Not cool. Not great.
Very not cool.
Good book, though. Very good.
I remember reading it in high school, and I thought it was a fantastic book. I just haven't read it since then, so it's not very fresh in my mind. I should read it again. It's not an overly long book, but I'm pretty sure it's been on banned book lists.
Oh yeah.
And sure. I'm pretty sure it was part of like book burnings, and it's had kind of a controversial history, which seems to be in general. Like, I know Rory was not the one reading this book, but we all know she has read this book.
I'm sure.
But I feel like controversial readings is what she tends to lean towards in her choices of reading. But yeah, so that is To Kill a Mockingbird. After that, we have Fashion with Jess.
Making fashion choices with Jess.
All right. So, fashion was kind of lackluster in this episode. And so, I'm really going to focus on my three big ones, my best, my worst, and my steal item. I'm going to start with the worst because there is a little bit of interest with this. Sandra mentioned it. I can't remember if it was on pod or pre-pod.
It was off. Yeah.
The worst dress for me in this episode is Lorelai in her gold ruffle shirt. I, in my notes, called it like a gold pirate shirt. it just, it's got a lot of bold ruffling down the front along kind of the button area. And it's not, it just, it's not flattering. I don't love the color. It's not great. And the other thing is, I believe there's a bit of a continuity issue with this shirt because we see her wear it at Fran's. And then we see her wear it what appears to be the next day when Mia comes into town. Because the Fran meeting and the Mia arriving definitely did not happen on the same day, but she is wearing the same very obvious gold ruffled shirt. So that was my worst. We got a little bit too much of it.
Can I throw a note in on that? Michelle is wearing kind of a light yellow with a gold tie. Mm-hmm.
They're matching.
So him and Lorelai match. Oh my gosh,
it's like they're going to prom together. I love it for that.
I hate the sheer sleeves. Yeah, the sheer sleeves.
It's like a silk. It's just so bad. It's just not great.
Lorelai wears another similar shirt to this in the future, kind of a lavender one when Richard comes to town.
And she wears, in the same episode, she wears another ruffled shirt. So apparently ruffles must have been in during this particular year, which unfortunately they do come and go. Thank goodness they go. My best dress of the episode is Mia. Mia is a monochromatic queen. When she shows up, she is like head to toe all in this kind of like oxblood burgundy. She's got a blazer. She's got a skirt. Her turtleneck is the same color. It just, it screams, I have money. The fit isn't the best on her, but I just love the overall look. She looks so incredibly put together. Like, you look at her.
She has, like, a little brooch,
right? She has a brooch, yeah. The whole look is, like, very clean. She's got minimal cute little earrings. Monochromatic queen. We stan racism. We have to unstan her. So, great outfit, bad thought processes. And my steal item is absolutely... You guys are all going to disagree. Listeners, when you think that I have a really great fashion point, can you please write in and say it? Because I think my co-hosts are going to run me out of town one day. But my steal item for the episode is Fran's squirrel sweater. I don't know if anybody was looking at Fran's sweater as hard as I was, but Fran is wearing a cardigan. It's blue, it's got green evergreen trees, and a gigantic squirrel on it. It's just such a cottagecore vibe, and I just, like...
For the listeners, Emily has it on screen for us to see, and just the immediate picture... Wow, that is... quite a cardigan.
So, okay, picture it.
It's a sweater.
Picture it like how I'm thinking is a pair of like light wash mom jeans and like a sleeveless black turtleneck tucked in, and then you put this sweater over it, and then you've got like a pair of Doc Martens or something. Like, I think it's such a fun vibe. Listeners, if you agree, please write in. Tell me I'm not alone. But yeah, so that was my worst, was unfortunately Lorelai. She was also kind of at her worst in this episode, so it makes sense. Best was Mia, the monochromatic queen, and steel is the squirrel sweater. Did either of you have a fashion notice or item that you really enjoyed that I did not bring up?
None that stood out to me.
Pretty bland episode. I remember thinking...
Jess looked cute.
Yes, we did just might have been his face. We did have a dual shearling moment where both Jess and Rory were talking outside of Dozie's in their shearling. It's coming, guys. Shearling apocalypse. I love it. Honestly, I thought about buying shearling this year. I didn't, but I thought about it.
One thing that I did have in my notes, Dean's hair looks amazing.
Does he still have the curtains? You know, like the kind of...
It got cut or something. Because, like, it looks so much better than it has in the past couple episodes.
Well, I mean, honestly, now that Jess is here, Jess has got great hair, so it's getting harder and harder to look at Dean in a positive light. I mean, Dean sucks, so... Oh, you're right. It was cut. It's a little bit more out of his face. Emily, any fashion fashion things before we move on?
Literally, the only thing I thought of was that Mia looks phenomenal in that monochromatic outfit. So
it's a whole look.
I agree with that one.
Yeah, awesome.
And I agree with the Lorelai one. I don't agree with the Fran.
That's my steal. I can have that. All right. Well, squirrel sweaters aside, we have up next, as usual, Stars Hollow Speaks. And
yay.
We really need to give potentially, truly, our biggest shout out yet.
Ever.
But before we do that, so we did have a little bit of a break. So we have a little bit of a pile up.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I want to mention to all the Spotify listeners who had us in their Wrapped.
That was so cool.
So cool.
That was fun. That was cool to see.
That was so exciting. Gabriela Ortega and Alba are just two people that are sticking out right now. Thank you so much.
Yes.
That was insane, and I'm so grateful for
it's
that.
It's so wild to, like, see us up there with, like, what I think of in my head is, like, real podcasts. Like, I know we're a real podcast, but at the same time, it's just, like, I'm talking to my two friends about Gilmore Girls. So to be on somebody's Wrapped was incredible. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes. I feel like we're still small town.
Yeah.
And we are small town. We're not huge by any means. But, yeah, to see something like that is so cool.
We also had somebody discover us recently on Twitter, and I apologize, at the time your Twitter name was The Best Barton Christmas Ever, but they went through and they liked a bunch of our tweets and made a couple of comments. They said, stumbled upon your podcast on Spotify 2 hours ago, just finished your discussion of the pilot. Just wanted to say I love the way you ladies bounce off each other, and now I'm going to listen to The Lorelei's First Day at Chilton because I am obsessed. And then throughout their listening, they also pulled out a couple of things we said, like a Coheed mention on a Gilmore Girls podcast, don't mind me while I freak out, and now a Bluey reference, my heart is full of joy. So, yes, welcome to Town Meeting, the Gilmore Girls podcast, where you never know what you're going to get. Coheed, Bluey, Twilight, squirrel sweaters, we've got it all. Thank you so much for finding us, and we hope you are still enjoying and listening.
I want to point out that tweet started off like a whole conversation between me and Jess about great Bluey episodes.
Yeah, Bluey episodes that I have cried to. Yeah.
And Sandra being like, I have no kids around me to watch it.
You don't need kids to watch that show.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I understand, but it's such a cute show.
And then we have one last little thing, and it was from the story I put up today. It's from Gabby, and she says that and this is in reference to the episode that we just watched, recorded, whatever. Love that Luke knows something's off when Suki talks about basketball.
Yes.
I did think that was a cute moment. We didn't mention it, but Luke says that Suki came by to the diner in the morning, and that Suki immediately
started talking about women's basketball. Yeah.
Because he tried to bring up the Inns, and they had just had that fight, and so she pivoted, and he was like, no.
What is happening?
You don't know what you're talking about.
But, drum roll.
We want to give the absolute most gigantic shout out to Ellen Smith.
Biggest. Huge.
This being on people's Spotify Wrapped was like huge. And then directly after that, we got notified that Ellen had become a supporter on Anchor, which means a, you know, monthly
subscriber
has pledged a monthly amount to help support our podcast. And beyond just becoming a supporter, a monthly supporter on Anchor, Ellen also donated directly to us through our Buy Me a Coffee link, which is honestly like so above and beyond. It's more than we would ever expect. And she said, I love y'all. Thank you for making the best Gilmore Girls pod. Thank you for listening.
That is like the nicest thing I've heard ever. And thank you so much.
Okay. Pretty sure that made all of our weeks. Just
really
to have
did.
The Spotify thing and then the subscription and the Buy Me a Coffee, like, all at once was just, like, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
And,
this is a good year, guys.
Ellen, we hope that you enjoy this new episode and you enjoy all of our future new episodes. And if you want to join Ellen, there's lots of different ways. Buy Me a Coffee, Anchor, I believe Spotify now has a feature that allows you to do that as well. Also,
you know what Spotify now has? The ability to rate 5 stars. So guys, if you like us and if you want to help promote us in a non-monetary way, please rate us.
Yes. Ratings and reviews do a lot. Like, for example, our new listener from Twitter discovered us on Spotify, and it's, you know, without those ratings and reviews, people can't find us. So thank you to those of you who
Spotify
do
and Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. If there is an option to, you know, maybe leave a rating and leave a review, we would be super eternally forever in your debt and grateful.
Finishing off this episode, we finish it off with coffee. Now, this was a stressful episode for Lorelai Gilmore. She drank quite a bit of coffee in this episode. So, real quick, let's go over Rory. Rory had 2 cups of coffee. So, just a standard.
I mean, she was barely in the episode, so it's amazing she had any at all.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess Lorelai had 5.
Lorelai did have 5 cups of coffee.
Wow, okay. Hey, we're getting back up there.
She just couldn't stop drinking this, well, coffee. Couldn't stop drinking coffee this episode.
You said it was a stressful episode for Lorelai. And definitely not one of her more shining moments.
No, not really. But you know what? I do like this episode. I wish the racism stuff wasn't involved. But Lorelai and Suki needed that fight, like you said, Jess. It went the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like, it was good to have the fight. And then also, we see the blossoming of Jess and Rory.
I have a friend who is just starting their Gilmore adventure and has been texting me occasionally. Like, oh, I've gotten to this point. I have thoughts. I've gotten to this point. And they are, like, right in the middle of Dean and struggling, not even sure if they want to continue watching the show. And I was like,
no,
I mean,
season 2, man,
I get it, but you gotta hold out for Jess. You gotta hold out for Jess. So fingers crossed.
I've seen a lot of kind of Jess hate on the subreddit lately, and it's been mostly like new viewers who are watching it for the first time. So I feel like a lot of the love of Jess comes through,
like, nostalgia
and kind of his redemption arc.
Yes.
Well, nostalgia of he's the beautiful, you know,
the bad boy.
Bad boy.
Yeah.
But also his redemption arc, like the how much the relationship between him and Luke gets better. And so I feel like a lot, especially for, I know for me, a lot of my love of Jess is because of who he becomes as a person and as an adult. So, like, it makes sense.
I don't want to.
People who are watching it now for the first time, like, Jess kind of sucks. Why does everybody love him?
And I don't want to confuse people. We are going to call out when he's being shitty. We're not going to be like, oh, he's so, well, he will probably say, like, he's so cute while he's being shitty, but he's still being shitty.
But I mean,
like, we will acknowledge that.
We did the same thing for Dean. Oh, he's so pretty. He sucks, but he's pretty.
But yeah, thank you guys again for bearing with us through our break over the holidays.
We hope you enjoyed.
As always, I was Jess.
And I was Sandra.
And this is Emily.
And we'll
see you again next week.
Bye.
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 Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can reach us on Instagram at townmeetingpod or email us at townmeetingpod@gmail.com. And now you can support us at buymeacoffee.com/townmeeting. Hope you guys enjoyed. Bye.